The doctrine of sleep. The doctrine of sleep, I know you haven't got out of fellowship this quickly, so we'll skip the rebound prayer and move straight in. One, the primary Greek word used for sleep is ko-a-imo. Number two, the word sleep often refers to Christian physical death, but not always, but almost always. As we just saw in the doctrine of the sin unto death. For this cause, many among you sleep. These are believers. So, Psalm 13:3, 1 Corinthians 15:20, 1 Corinthians 15:55, 51-55, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:10. When physical death occurs, the believer is fully conscious in heaven, but waiting for the resurrection body, which he will get at the rapture. And there shouldn't be a little R there, because it's not, I think, it's not a patented terminology. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we, this is Paul and his traveling seminary team, do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, which means to be ignorant. These are believers. About those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve, lupeo, as do the rest who have no hope, elpis. If you're an unbeliever, you have no hope. You're not going to see that person again. If they're a believer, you won't see them. If they're an unbeliever, you'll see them, but you know, you're going to see them in a very nice context, and what manner you're going to see them, we don't know. But we don't grieve as the rest who have no hope, confidence. For if we believe, pisteo, that Jesus died, apothenesco, and rose again, anistemi, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And that's the rapture and the second coming. God's going to do this whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe in the resurrection or the rapture or not is irrelevant. Most believers don't even know the difference between the rapture and the resurrection. And some believers don't even believe in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians. Man, we don't believe in it. Still saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The only thing Paul could say good about all the people that are brethren, and the brethren included people getting drunk at the Eucharist. They include people sleeping with their mother. They include little pity parties amongst competing groups of believers. I'm more spiritual than you are. But we were baptized by so-and-so. They ran the gamut. They were the most degenerate church of all the churches. And they ran the gamut from legalistic, you know, biddies all the way down to drunken skunks. And all Paul could say is, you're all saved. And did they know any Bible doctrine? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 gives you the answer. Nope. They were babies. Absolute babies. So, this assumes someone understands the doctrine. Because what gives you confidence? We say the doctrine of hope, elpis. There's hope one, hope two, and hope three. Hope one is where you acquire enough Bible doctrine where you know you're saved. Now, you're saved whether you know it or not. But when you have enough Bible doctrine where someone asks you if you're saved, you don't say, I hope so. You say, you're damn right I'm saved. That's, you've achieved hope one. If you haven't achieved that level, then you're not a mature believer. But you should be able to say with confidence, yes, on the authority of the Bible doctrine in my soul, I know I'm going to heaven. Now, most believers can't say that. And yet, many of them, of course, are. Well, if they're most believers, obviously, they're all going to heaven. And then hope two, absolute confidence that I will get my resurrection body, I'll get my rewards in time and rewards in eternity. And hope three, of course, is absolute confidence I'm going to get the resurrection body plus my eternal rewards. So you have three. You can actually lump two and three together. Kernel theme identified in three categories. I just lump one and two together. Because once you have absolute confidence you're saved, that's a very wonderful feeling. Most believers don't have that confidence because they don't know the doctrine. They have no idea what happened on the cross. What happened on the cross, the 6 hours? Don't know. And you ask them a variety of questions. Don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know. Does that mean they're not saved? No, they're saved. It only takes a speck of faith more than none at all. You akouo the gospel. Christ died for my sins, however it's presented to them. They realize, obviously, all people realize they're a sinner relative to God, who's perfect. They kind of inherently understand that concept. How do you get saved? Well, you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and therefore you receive God's righteousness. So you get the basic 101 presentation. We did the doctrine of the salvation, the gospel before. And if that person believes it with one speck of faith, they don't, obviously, when the Bible says that when you're born again, are you born again as a mature believer? No. You're born again as a baby. What do babies know? Nothing. Nothing. just like you, just like me. I didn't know anything when I was saved. I didn't realize I was saved till years later. And I don't even remember the day I was saved. And I started to learn Bible doctrine. I said, yeah, I've been down with that for a long time. I don't remember. Now, some people can remember the day they're saved and write it down on the calendar. Great. Wonderful. I don't. No idea. It wasn't until I learned Bible doctrine that I realized, oh, man, I've been saved for a long time. And so the fallen asleep in Christ, these are believers. 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. Behold, I tell you a mystery, mysterion. This is special Bible doctrine for church age only. We, all church age believers, will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Alalasso means to exchange one thing for the other. We're exchanging our mortal body for a resurrection body. In a moment, atomos, in the twinkling of an eye. I used to twinkle when I was single of an eye when I see something walking by, but the twinkling of an eye, that's real quick. At the last trumpet, and that's splagix, that closes out the church age. Now, this is not the last trumpet, because people are, well, there's another last trumpet in Revelation. It's not the last trumpet. What about that? It just means that there's going to be a trumpet that announces the rapture, and then there's another trumpet that announces things in the resurrection, in the tribulational area. But this is the last trumpet for the church age. That's it. Church age closes out. It's the last trumpet for the church age. It's not the last trumpet of all the trumpets. It's a context. So for the trumpet will sound, and the dead, nekros, this is the general word for dead. Not thanatos, so it's just a general word for the dead. These are the believers. And the dead will be raised imperishable. Up far artos. And that means immortal. And we, these are fellow believers that are alive, remember the doctrine of the rapture, Paul anticipated it in his day. They thought the rapture could occur in their day, and they're right, it could have occurred in their day. But it didn't. That's why he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians, because a lot of them were dying. They're all upset. Oh my golly, I thought Paul said the rapture, when he gave us the Bible doctrine on the rapture, we thought it was like right around the corner. Well, it's called the imminency of the rapture. It's always been right around the corner. It's just we've turned 2,000 years around corners and it hasn't come yet almost. It could come tomorrow. It could come in 5 minutes. It could come in 500 years. I don't know. Nobody knows. But when it does come, the dead church age believers that are asleep will get their bodies first, their imperishable resurrection bodies. We will all be changed. For this perishable, which is the human body, must put on imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death, thanatos, this is the word for spiritual death, is swallowed up. Katapaino, in victory, nikos. It's utter. This word for nikos means to utterly vanquish. Not like a half-assed military campaign. You destroy the enemy. Utterly vanquished. And, of course, the doctor, there's only one human that has a resurrection body right now, and that's our Lord and Savior. Nobody else has a resurrection body. The dead in Christ, as it clearly teaches, are asleep, and they are waiting for their resurrection body. 1 Corinthians 15, where are they waiting? They're waiting in the third heaven. They don't go to paradise anymore. That's Old Testament. Christ took all the believers out of the compartment called paradise when he ascended up into heaven to the third heaven to present himself to God the Father in his human resurrected body. And then God the Father evaluated him and said, yes, I will allow this human into my presence. Therefore, since we're in union with Christ, if he's allowed in, we're allowed in. And so I'm sure everything held its breath. The angels were watching to see if God the Father would evaluate this human being and let him in, because there were no human beings in. And he said, of course, what did he say? You better remember Operation Footstool. Sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He accepted the resurrection body, which is a human, because God doesn't sit. Well, humans can sit. And so he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now until the enemies of the footstool. So because he's accepted, we're accepted, because we're in union with Christ. It requires a little advanced logic. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Who's that? This is the church age, because the church age gets their resurrection body next. We're company B. Company C, will be the Old Testament believers and the tribulational saints that have died during the tribulation. Because remember, that 7 years of the tribulation is the 7 years God owes the Jews. We go back to the Old Testament type stuff. And right before the second advent, all those Old Testament believers and the tribulational believers that have died will get their resurrection body. And the tribulational believers that are alive will go into the millennium. And then the next company that gets their resurrection body, the last one, Company D, will be at the end of the Gog and Magog revolution, at the end of the 1,000 years when Satan is released. Remember that? Big revolution. All unbelievers are whipped up, and I suspect even some believers will be sucked into this army that Satan pushed together. Because, again, anything an unbeliever can do, and a believer can do it. You see believers doing all sorts of weird stuff. It wouldn't shock me at all. But they will get their resurrection body because they're going to be burned up with Satan, and that's the end of Satan and his boys. But all those humans that died during the millennium, because capital punishment will be in effect during the millennium, you can die in the millennium by capital punishment, or another human can murder you. There just won't be any more wars. And then that company will get their resurrection body. Then we have the new heavens and the new earth, and it's all over. And we go out from beyond that point. So we are in the top of page 556. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. He's the first one. 3. Sleep also refers to the believer in reversionism in time. Romans 13, 11. Ephesians 5, 14. Isaiah 51, 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 to 7. This includes those that are apathetic or rejected Bible doctrine. These are in temporal death. Remember, there's different types of death. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 7. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert. And that is the word gregorio, which means to watch, and sober, nepho, to be calm and collected. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. So Paul's making a call, don't be a zombie. Zombies are, you know, the people that just walk through life, they're sleepwalkers, or don't be a sleepwalker. They just go through life and do whatever they're going to do, get married, have a job, and then die. You're a sleepwalker. You're the walking dead. 4. Sleep can also refer to those who died under the provisions of the sin unto death, 1 Corinthians 11:30, which says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. So it can refer to you being killed under the sin unto death. 7. There's no such thing as soul sleep. You might have heard this false doctrine in some false churches. And they say when the believer dies, they don't recognize anything. They're just soul asleep. Again, the believer is fully conscious and waiting for his resurrection body. See the doctrine of death, where I explain this very fully, Revelation 21:4. If you read Revelation, you'll see that there are humans in heaven that have died, the saints, right? What are they doing? Are they asleep? No, they're singing and hooting and hollering and doing things. They're doing things, which leads us to a conclusion. They don't have a resurrection body, but obviously they may have some type of an interim body, which encases their soul and spirit, or maybe the soul and spirit doesn't need to be encased. I don't know. I haven't been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, neither of you. All we know is that they're conscious. They're conscious. And Revelation 21:4 says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. They departed. So yeah, you'll be conscious in heaven. I can't tell you too much more. I mean, we can sit around with beer and nice to contemplate and have little sword fights and discussions, but nobody knows. You know, so you could say, well, maybe this, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. The one verse I always like coming back to is that you can't imagine what it's like. And that's what I like to say. I just, you know, my brain hurts. I can't imagine what it's like, so why even try? I'd rather contemplate what would happen on the third day of Gettysburg if Longstreet had gone here instead of there. That's more interesting to me because I can actually kind of contemplate the logistics. This, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has entered into your brain what it is that I have for you. So, okay. So why bother yourself? You know, contemplate what would happen if the Spurs had a coach that was actually an American or something of that nature. I don't know. Okay. So that is the doctrine of sleep as used in the Bible. That was my personal opinion, by the way, because once in a while that stuff slips in. So people, if they listen to this tape 50 years from now, they go, what does he mean? What does he mean? Nothing. Don't worry about it. Okay. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this day, which is a few days after the fall of the Alamo in March of 2018. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us as we move forward to the high ground of spiritual maturity. In Christ's name, amen.